As we come to chapter 6 of Nehemiah, we see a great story taking place here as Nehemiah has been an ordinary man, a cupbearer, serving the king, and yet God had called him to this awesome work of going and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, going and showing mercy to a group of people that were suffering greatly, who were vulnerable. And God placed this upon his heart to where he was stirred towards, I need to do something, I need to go. And you see that he goes. And as he goes, there's all kinds of obstacles that come his way. From them first making fun of him, saying, you know, you're going to build a wall. You know, a fox, if a fox jumps on the wall, it's going to fall down. And from there, we see that it goes to being more serious, to where the people of God have their weapons, their swords there. Some are being on guard. Others are working. But while they're working, they still have a weapon in their hand through the whole process because they're fearing the attacks, the threats of all the people that are around them. Nehemiah sees challenges as far as even amongst his own people and sin that has entered into even the camp and them acting the same way that the world acts and him rebuking them as we looked at last week and calling them out to fear God, to have reverence and awe for God, to be a people who have a big view of God but respond properly as those that have a big view of God. Now in chapter 6, we see that he comes face to face with more obstacles. Let's look at verse 1. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. And then it says, but they thought to do me harm. These guys, it appears as if they're coming to him saying, all right, sorry, concession speech, we lost. You got the walls built. Now, why don't you come and meet with us? You guys can come, just Nehemiah, come and why don't you join us there in the plain and we will meet together and let's have peace. And we see here that Nehemiah looks and he says, they thought to do me harm. They were going to call me out and the gates have not yet been put up. And what use is a wall if there is no gates? And they're calling me out saying, hey, come meet with me. But they want to hurt me. They want to kill me. If I go and I go meet with them, this is what's going to happen. And so he says, they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. He says, I can't come down to meet with you. And you see that he's saying, I am doing a great work. What's going on right now is important. I can't leave. I can't go and meet with you. And this really would have been a slap in the face to these other leaders. They're saying, come, meet with us. 4 times they send a message, come, meet with us. And he knows that they want to do him harm, but he sends something back saying, I can't come down. Why should the work cease and I go down and meet with you? We see a single-mindedness about Nehemiah as well, as far as there's a task to be done. It's not done yet. I still need to finish. I'm going to go about this, and I'm not meeting with you right now. And so it says, then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand. Now, remember that typically a letter would be sealed. But this leader sending one, it's an open letter, meaning that they're doing this on purpose. It can be read by many people. Surely it was read by many people as it passed from person to person as it's going there to Nehemiah. And it says this, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king, so come therefore and let us consult together. They send this letter out and it's propagating this rumor saying, you're trying to make yourself king, or you're trying to make it so that you're rebelling against the king. You've built these walls, you're putting these gates up because you want to rebel against the king. And this letter goes out, an open letter. People are reading it, really. I mean, if you were passed a letter to go take on and it's open, more than likely you're going to read it. More than likely you're going to talk about it. And so rumors are going out, and he's being slandered. This is going out, and he says, then I sent to him saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. You invent them in your own heart. These things aren't taking place. He replies with that, and just very simple. You're making these things up. They are not true. But he knows that more opposition is coming against him. They're trying to get him to leave. They're trying to spread rumors. They're trying to make it so that the work will not take place. Look at verse 9. It's interesting. It says, for they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. What an incredible verse there. It says they were all trying to make us afraid. Everybody. All these people that were sitting in opposition to him from the very beginning, he says, they were all trying to make us afraid. They were saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. For every one of us here, at times in each one of our lives, we deal with fear, without a doubt. It may be fear within the weaknesses of our own hearts. It may be other people throwing threats at us or causing us to fear. Our fear may be coming from the fiery darts of the evil one, or simply fear of our current circumstances. Our fears may be of the unknown, what might happen, of who we might lose, what might happen to our jobs, what might happen to our children, what might happen to anything or anyone else that's important to us. Fear, it can grip us. We saw last week that there's a good kind of fear, and that's a reverence and respect and honor towards God, a high view of God and responding properly to him, a good thing as far as fearing God. But there's also a fear that's not good, a fear that we've seen within ourselves and you can see within others as well, a fear that sometimes consumes our minds and paralyzes us with worry and with stress. Fear of being hurt by others, specifically those we love. It can cause incredible barriers between us and those that we care about, our relationships. Some people fear what others may think of them, and so they never let people get close, or they never become vulnerable so that they can never put themselves in a position where they could be hurt. There's fear that we deal with. You may look and you think of your family, you think of your marriage, you think of your job, and it's just, okay, well, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? And I think a lot of the things that we stress out about the most are things that never actually happen. But fear can overcome us. And we look here and he says, they're all trying to make us afraid. Everyone here, they're all trying to make us afraid so that our hands will be weakened in this work that is to take place. Fear could bring us to a place of not doing anything at all, not wanting to step out and witness to this particular person. Fear could be something that makes it so that we wouldn't go on that missions trip. Or fear could be something that makes it so that we look at our finances and it's just so stressful that it causes us to be consumed and we just think about these things. Fear of being alone. You see with Nehemiah, it's just this little section here at the end of verse 9 where he says, now therefore, as he prays, O God, strengthen my hands. He's looking at this job that God's given him to do, this calling in his life. And he's saying, God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands in this work that you've called me to do. Make it so that I'm able to continue. And this is such a great example of a man who's fixed upon the goal that God has given him and yet sees his dependence upon God. This has come up in previous studies as we've gone through the book of Nehemiah, but a lot of times people say, what's man's responsibility? What's my responsibility? We talk about the sovereignty of God and his greatness and the fact that he began a good work in us and be faithful to complete it. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that he's molding us and he's conforming us into his image, that he is our strength. He is the one that accomplishes things, that apart from him that we could do nothing. And you know these things. And we talk about being God-centered versus being man-centered. And we talk about how we don't want us as a body to go out of the doors of this church saying, yoo-hoo, we could do it. We could do it. We have, you gave us, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, these things that we need to do. I can do that. And walk out thinking that we can accomplish things in our own strength. We talk about the fact that we can't do anything in our own strength. And so you may at times think, well, what's our part? What's man's responsibility in this whole thing? And I think that our part, what I'm called to do in the ministry, what you're called to do as you serve, what you're called to do in your marriage, as you're single, as you raise kids, in your job, what's our responsibility? It's to depend on him. It's to depend on him. You see that with Nehemiah. This is just a small section in his life. Just a couple month period. A work that God's calling him to do, but he's looking at this and having obstacle after obstacle come his way. And we see a man here where his calling is to do this great work. But he's saying, God, everybody's against me. They're all trying to make us afraid. God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen them. You can picture what he's saying as far as anybody that has done physical labor. You know that there's times where your hands just get so tired. And he's saying, God, strengthen them. Give me strong hands to be able to do this. Make it so that I'm able to complete this work that you've called me to do. Give me strength. Give me courage. Give me courage. As Christians, that's where we should be. Courageous. Those that believe in a sovereign God, those that believe that God is working all things for his glory, those that believe that all things work together for good for those who love him and for those who are the called, according to his purpose, all things work together for good, it should cause us to be courageous. Heard R.C. Sproul say one time, someone that believes in the sovereignty of God is both illogical and immoral for them to be a pessimist. It's wrong to be pessimistic if you really believe that God's in control of all things. Be courageous. Be strong. No one wants to be weak. I think of when I was looking at this section where he says, give me strong hands. God, strengthen my hands. You know, when for guys, if someone comes and shakes your hand, give them a strong handshake, especially if it's someone that's trying to date your daughter or something like that. You strong handshake. One of those things that frustrates me a lot, I shouldn't say this because you'll probably do this on your way out, but you know when you go to shake someone's hand, you want to give them a hearty handshake, and someone grabs like your four fingers, and you can't do anything about it, you just feel like a little girl? I hate that. I it's one of those things where I'm like, can we do it again? Because really, I don't shake hands like that. And you want to do a do-over. Like, come on, just shake my hand like a man. You can't grab my four fingers. There's nothing I can do when you do that. You want strong hands, and you think here like, God, strengthen me. Give me the ability to get through this, but not in my own strength, not in my own power, not in my own abilities. God, strengthen my hands. Enable me to do this. You may be looking at your current situation right now and saying, God, strengthen me right now. It may be something that's consuming you. It may be that you have four kids at home and you're trying to raise them. I look at the Richies or the Holes and I think,
God strengthened those people. We have one and he overpowers us.
Four, could you imagine?
But God strengthen us as we do this. Strengthen us in our marriage as we're dealing with difficulties. God, it's you that is going to enable this to work and for us to be God-honoring. God, strengthen me in my workplace as I lead these people that I oversee. Strengthen me as I have to submit to this boss. God, please strengthen me. A calling upon God. God, it is you that needs to do it in every area of our lives. You're not going to feel all that sorry for me because we were in Hawaii this last several days, and that's why we weren't here last week, anniversary, Hawaii. And so there'll be very little sympathy here. And someone from the church gave us their timeshare, and we had frequent flyer miles, so everything was good. And we left on Friday night. Get home, Saturday morning, 6 in the morning. We'll call a shuttle so that it'll just come pick us up, lest one of our family members has to come at 6 in the morning to pick us up. No big deal. We could do that. And we left Friday night from Kauai. Now, this is why you're not going to feel all that sorry, but you may if you have any kind of compassion later on. We left, flew out, even though there was still another day left on our timeshare. Flew out because we needed to use frequent flyer miles. That's when we had to go. Get to Honolulu. Arrive there, and our tickets say 10:20. Taking off, 10:20 p.m. We get there, 9:15. They say, oh, no, your tickets, we changed it. You really are leaving at 9:20, and there's a plane, and the doors are shut, so you're stuck here. And we're thinking, oh, man. But it says 10:20. Yeah, they changed it. Why didn't you call? We don't have your phone number. It's like, oh, what do we do now? So we had to go get a hotel. Drove for an hour, got lost. Drove for over an hour, trying to find the hotel. Finally found the hotel late at night. I'm going to make this real fast, just the nightmare of the last 24 hours. We get there, spend all this money for the hotel, getting ready to go. We had to rent a car, whole process. We check out the hotel in the morning. We're still tired. We have to get back to the airport. Michelle Gleason was with us. She forgot a gift for her sister and an apple. And so she says, after we've driven for 15, 20 minutes, I need to go back to get it. So we go back to get it. I give her my driver's license so that she could get into the hotel room. And she runs up there, comes back. We're back on the way to the airport. We're late now. We're trying to get there. I say, can I have my license back? I don't have it. We turn around, race back there. We get there, can't find the license. Finally, they said, oh, security has it. Get it again, drive to the airport. We're racing now. We have to get gas in the car, return the car, take a kid. All of us get on the plane. We get on the plane, finally. Race, we're like some of the last ones there. Get on this plane, I thought we were going to miss it for sure. I'm praying, God, strengthen my hands in this process. And I was thinking at one point, like, maybe I should just call one of the other pastors, say, you're teaching them, or I'll strengthen your hands. You got to pray this. And so I'm thinking all these things. We're going through the process. We get on the plane, and it's hectic, and on our way home, fly home, get in late. 9:30, our plane comes in. We go. We're waiting for the shuttle. Hour goes by. Finally get the shuttle. We're hoping, praying, God, please help it to be a shuttle that has nobody but us, and we just drives us right back down. No, we'd take everybody in Orange County to their home prior to it. We get home at 1 o'clock in the morning, get to sleep at 4, and here we are this morning. Not only that, but we leave tomorrow for Romania at 1 o'clock. And so all of this stuff, you're looking at it just going, God, strengthen our hands in the process of this. Just even the last 24 hours, strengthen us. Help us. And there might be times in your life where you're just going through things, and what a wonderful thing it is to call upon the Lord our God, sovereign God, and say, God, strengthen my hands. There was times over the course of the last 24 hours where I was thinking, God, why? Why? Why this? How is this going to work together for good? Why the license thing? We're already late. You know we're late. Why the traffic? You know there's issues that are here. And yet, God is so good to strengthen us. But there's times in our lives where it's more serious than that. Times in our lives where there's illness or there's heartache. And we're facing something and it seems like I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I don't have the strength anymore. Everything seems to be coming
against us. And it's there that we pray, oh God, strengthen my hands. Enable me in the midst of everything that's around me. Give me strength. It's dependence upon Him. This exalts the Lord our God, does it not? You look at this, and when Nehemiah is at a point, I can't do it. Everything is against me. We see time and again, he prays. Time and again, he looks to his sovereign God and says, oh God, strengthen my hands. When the most difficult things come my way, give me courage. A prayer for courage. We as Christians ought to be the most courageous people in the world. Courageous. Who has a God like our God? There's none. As Christians who know God, who have a gigantic view of God, who know that all things work together for good, a God who knows when a sparrow falls to the ground and it doesn't happen apart from His will, we ought to be courageous. As those who love Him, we ought to be courageous. When you love somebody, it gives you more courage, does it not? You see here in this section where as we looked at last week, where he tells them, put your families, your families are going to guard certain sections. Because he knows that they're going to fight harder because they're there fighting for their family members, all of them together. There's more courage when you love somebody. Even in the natural world, that's the case. I remember that we were on safari in Africa on a missions trip and taking this little break there, and we're driving our cars. There's an elephant. Elephants are cool. We're kind of chasing the elephant. I don't know why we're chasing an elephant, but we're chasing an elephant, and it's running, and we're chasing it, and there's all these trees, and so we chase it into the trees. Bad mistake. Baby elephant in the trees. Baby elephant there, and all of a sudden, mama elephant turns around, ears wide open, or wide out, and it's charging the vehicle. And we're in reverse. Who cares what we hit? We don't care. It's better than whatever's coming at us. And we're flying backwards as fast as we can. Because that elephant that was just kind of running away from our vehicle is no longer scared. Love gave it courage. I went to Taco Mesa. And I'm coming out of the restaurant with my food. There's the patio there over in Ladera Ranch. And I'm coming out with my food, and this bird lands on my head and starts like flapping its wings, and I'm falling down to the ground trying to get away from the bird, and it's flapping its wings, and I'm like, ah! And I was meeting someone there, and they weren't even there yet, and I'm looking at all these people in the patio, and they're just dying laughing. I'm like, oh yeah, funny guys, you know? And so I go and sit down, and I'm just like, stink. People are still laughing. And then I watched, and every person that came out that door, that bird landed on their head. I stayed there for like 2 hours because I was dying laughing. It was so much more funny when it happened to somebody else than when it happened to me. But courage. Little bird had courage because it was protecting its young. But we think about it, and we love them. There's courage for us as Christians because we know who we serve. We know the God that we serve, and there's a single-mindedness to accomplish what He's called us to do. A single-mindedness to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith. Calling that God's placed upon our lives. Saying, God, strengthen me in the process of this. Verse 10 says, afterward I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. A prophet comes to Nehemiah and tells him this. And Nehemiah says, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I'll not go in. Now, by what God said in His word, Nehemiah, as a layman, was not allowed to just go into the temple like the heathen did for protection. And this prophet says, come, let's just go. We'll close the doors of the temple. You could go in there. They're going to kill you. Let's go in there. You'll be protected. I'm a prophet of God. This is what God's told me. Let's go in. And Nehemiah is saying, I can't do that. God's given me a task to do, but also this is inconsistent with his word. This can't be right. I'm not going into the temple. It tells us that he goes on, and he says, then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason, he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Verse 14 says, my God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets, who would have made me afraid. Verse 15 says, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. This is the climax of what we've been looking at in these first six chapters. Incredible thing. The wall is finished. Approximately 2 miles of wall going around the city of Jerusalem against all kinds of obstacles, but God had called him to do this. And he says in verse 15, the wall was finished. 52 days, less than 2 months, a wall with the gates and everything is completed. And we look at this and what an awesome thing it is. God called Nehemiah to do something and God accomplished it. All kinds of obstacles, but God accomplished it. What an incredible thing it is for us as Christians to know that God works all things for his glory. All things. Just as sure as the waters cover the sea, the Bible says, so shall the whole earth be filled with his glory. He accomplishes his purposes. God's never frustrated. God's never in despair. And we look at it and we say, God's called us to something and he'll accomplish it. He'll accomplish it. Confidence that's there, courage that is there, and we see the fulfillment of it. In 52 days, it's accomplished. God did it. Look what it says in verse 16. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. The people are discouraged that are all around watching what's taking place because they're saying, this cannot happen other than their God did this. The glory went to God. Even the nations looked and said, only their God could have done this. Only their God could have accomplished it. What an amazing thing it is for us to have confidence in him, to not be afraid, to have courage, to trust him, to call upon him, to pray for him, to strengthen our hands in the process, and serve him as unto the Lord, doing what God's called us to do. And then have those that have been mocking, those that have been discouraging us, those that have been around us saying all kinds of manner of evil against us, say, it only could have been their God that did that. The fame, the glory, it goes to God. That's what happened here. If you'll turn with me for a moment to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 27, we see David experiencing something similar. A time of worry, but you see here another godly man in the midst of trials respond in a similar way that Nehemiah did. It's a parallel passage I think would be appropriate for this morning. Psalm 27. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It begins with, it is God that I have confidence in. Who should I be afraid of? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Strengthen my hands, Nehemiah says. David says, the Lord, he is the strength of my life. My confidence is in him. It's in him. It says, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. And then this familiar verse to all of us, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The psalmist is looking at everything around him. David's looking at all the armies that are encamped against him. He said, I'm not going to be afraid. And then it's this single-mindedness once again. There's one thing that I've desired of the Lord, and that's the thing that I'm going to seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I might have fellowship with him, that I might just be with him now and for all eternity. There's one thing that matters to me, and that's that, my God, to be with my God. That's the one thing that I'm going to seek after with everything that I got. What a great thing it would be for us as God's people to think that way in the midst of fear, to think that way in the midst of everything coming against us, looking and saying, why would I ever be afraid? He's my light. He's my salvation. He's the strength of my life. The only thing that matters to me is to be with him all the days of my life, to inquire in his temple, just to be with him. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. What a great verse there. I'm not going to be afraid. My confidence is in him. You're here this morning and there's things that are just consuming you, pressures that are around you. What a great thing it is to be like Nehemiah, to be like David here saying, it's God that matters. He's my strength. I won't be afraid. All I care about is being with him. And so as a result this morning, there's going to be joy that comes forward in my praises. He says, I'll sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Can you imagine David in the midst of everything that's going about him, looking and saying, all I'm going to do, I'm going to sing. Yes, I mean, it's this being emphatic. Yes, I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing praises to him. Everything's going around me that is causing so much pressure, but I'm not going to be afraid. Though anybody else would be afraid, their confidence is not in the Lord, my God. I have confidence in him. I have strength in him. I'll praise him. And then verse 7 says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. Similar to Nehemiah, rumors that have gone out. False witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that would be a practical application to what we've seen in Nehemiah this morning. Even if your mom and your dad forsake you, David's saying, God will take care of me. He loves me more than they do. Even if they forsake me, it's still my God, he'll take care of me. He says, I would have lost heart. I would have become afraid. My hands would have become weak. I would have fallen or failed. I would have lost heart.
unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that you'll see the goodness of the Lord? Do you believe that He is strong on your behalf? Do you believe that He can enable you to get through this? Do you believe that He's in control of the whole situation? Do you believe that you could have courage in Him? The exhortation is, wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. Translate that into depend on Him. Take everything that is there that's heavy upon your shoulders and just give it to God. Wait on Him. Give it to Him in prayer. Have a confidence in Him. Say, God, this is yours. You do your will with it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Courage. Courageous as believers. Not afraid. Not looking to the world like we're pathetic and we serve a pathetic God. No, courageous in a great and mighty God. Courageous. And He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's a family that maybe you've seen some emails that have gone out in the last week from our church, and it hit me hard because I remember praying for their older daughter and who had cancer several years ago, the Justinianos. And they don't go to our church, but a lot of us may know who they are, have been praying for them. And I remember praying so hard for their older daughter who had cancer, and they thought that they were going to lose her several years ago, and she made a full recovery. And what an awesome thing that was, and we praised Him. But now they found out just this last week that their younger daughter has leukemia. And just going through the whole process over again, and I read the email that the mom sent out, and you couldn't help but read this email and see that this is a lady that her confidence is in God. It wasn't in her own strength. I mean, this family has been hit by something hard again. And yet God was so glorified as you read this and just see that their confidence is in Christ. Knowing that God can heal her. Knowing that God could use this for good. They're calling upon the saints to pray for their family. But in the midst of it, there's no question that they have a gigantic view of who God is. Wait on the Lord, whatever your circumstances are. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. You feel like I can't strengthen my heart on my own? Wait on Him. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, David says once again. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Depend on Him. Depend on Him this morning in all these things. Depend on Him. Will you pray with me? Lord God, it seems like giants come up against us sometimes. Things that we have no ability to defeat in and of ourselves. And yet our confidence isn't in the strength of our own hands. Our confidence is in the strength of a sovereign, good, almighty, powerful God. Our confidence is in You, God. I pray, Lord, for the families of our church, each and every individual, whether it be finals that they're dealing with right now, whether it be difficulties financially, difficulties at work, difficulties within the family, whatever it is as far as the pressures that are coming around us, help us to depend on You. Help us to wait on You. God, we pray that You would strengthen our hands. You would give our hearts strength. That the
people around us would see that all the glory goes to you for what you accomplish. It's not us, it's you. Give us joy. Give us courage. Help us to be a people with a gigantic view of God who are courageous in this life. We call upon you. We depend upon you. We wait upon you for all these things. We praise you. We sing praises to you. Yes, we sing praises to you with all of our heart. We pray that we would do that now. In Jesus' name, amen.